Welcome.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are. I'm Terry Kay, and I'm going to ask a couple of things. Please do not chat or send emojis, which someone's doing right now. Please do not do that during my share, as I find it a distraction and a comment, and therefore crosstalk. I'd also like to say that I'm very nervous, but I'm looking forward to this. I spent a good 3 to 4 hours preparing a slideshow, which technologically, I'm unable to share because I'm not very good at that stuff. So I'm going to make do and it'll be a little dysfunctional, but that's who I am. I'm going to try to share some photos because they're pretty important to me. And I'm going to start with, of course, I can't find it. Here it is. New York is a nationality. I was born and raised in New York City. Shoot, I can't figure out how to do this. I was born, here it is. Dump. Can you see that? Yes. I was born in the infirmary for women and children, which, if you continue to read, was the first female hospital in New York City and opened in 1857, 99 years before I was born, and is still open today. Okay. My parents, let's see if I can get this picture. Forgive my delays here, but I'm doing the best I can. My parents, my mom was Ukrainian. She's the older. My dad, Jamaican. I don't know why every time I take off the camera, I get Carmen's beautiful face, but let me see if I can change that. Speaker view. No, that's it. Gallery view. Okay. Let me get to the fundamentals of why we're here. I was raised atheist. I had three friends growing up in New York City housing projects. One was black, one was Puerto Rican, and one was Greek. And they all had this or very similar image of God. This is not my God. Never was, never will be. My mom told me very clearly that anyone who believed in God was not as smart as we were or was wasting their time. The question I had for her was, well, I have to be atheist, but how come it's okay for my cousins to be Jewish? Because my cousins were also white, and that was okay too. It wasn't okay to be half black and half white. But the answer I got was, oh, they're just wasting their time. And gaslighting was a big part of my childhood. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm still getting distracted by myself. I was incested. I'm sorry, trigger warning. I should have said that first for the whole share because I may say things that are hard to hear. And I might curse here and there. The good part of my childhood, and if you will see in the background, and I'm going to try to share a picture of that, was a camp that I grew up in. It was located in New Jersey, and I still to this day have friends, some of whom are in the room right now, from those days. And my family stayed in cabin 2, which is on the left. So the camp entered on your right, and cabin 2 is on the left, and a very close friend, and I'm changing their name to protect their anonymity. The Simon family lived in the other cabin, and I spent every summer of my life there until 1966 when it was bombed by the local rednecks because it was a place where interracial couples could be. Atheists could be, communists could be, and the locals didn't like that. So every year, every summer, I went to this camp. And what's special about this camp, aside from that amazing pool, which is in my background, and I'm going to try to get a better picture of, were the people. The people there were just so awesome, so loving, so welcoming. And like I said, I still have friends from that day. And I'm going to share a couple of pictures and I'll talk about them briefly. This was the pool, which was person made, and you can see surrounded by nature. This pool, by the way, still exists. Now, this is a picture of what the grown-ups did in camp. And if you can guess, they're studying a play they're about to perform. The very tall woman all the way to the right is a very good friend from the Butler family. The next young woman is there. The woman in the back, the tall woman smoking the cigarette, that's my mom. And the woman to her right, or our left, is Helen Simon, and she was my other mother at camp. This is what the kids did. And what was unique about it, and one of my friends is in this picture too, actually, two of my friends are in this picture. What was unique about it, as you can see, in those days, they were black and white kids playing together. That's what the grown-ups did. And everybody swam in the pool. I swam in the pool from 4 years old when Ray Washington said, "Throw her in, she'll swim." What I tell you all this to tell you about is while I was told there was no God, I was surrounded by nature and love and good people. And that all helped me to survive a very dysfunctional family. I meant to say this earlier, but I'll say it now. My dad was an alcoholic. And my mom, and I'm going to give you a new word, was a politicaholic. My mother was out making the world a better place. And she did. An agency that she started when I was a young person, I want to say before teenager, called Advocates for Children in New York City still exists, still helps children in New York City public schools for free. So she did make the world a better place. But unfortunately, that led to neglecting her family and me in particular. Let me see. I want to show you. Sorry, folks. Oh, there he is. Oh, I want to show you this picture and then this picture and this picture. Okay. That's my mom and dad on their very first date at the Harlem, in Harlem, Cotton Club, New York City. That's me and my 3 year older brother. That's us again. And that's us again. While we didn't believe in Christ, we celebrated Christmas because my mother loved the tree. Hey, why not, right? That's natural. Anyway, my first husband was someone who grew up in that same camp. He's also biracial. But to use my language, he was an asshole. However, he was my first introduction on some level to formal religion, in that he was a jazz musician and he played in a band that rehearsed and was sponsored by Abyssinian Baptist Church, which is also in Harlem, New York. And I had a picture of that, but I'm not going to look for it now. But I always felt out of place wherever I went. I was too white to be black. I was too black to be white. I was too rich to be poor. I was too poor to be rich. And later on in my life, I was too gay to be straight and too straight to be gay. So I'm saying all that to say no matter where I went, I didn't belong. I didn't fit. And I felt like that most of my life, except for Camp Midvale. Unfortunately, 2 years after Camp Midvale closed, because of the bombing, my dad, driving drunk, drove into a tree. I don't think he committed suicide. The story was that he swerved to avoid hitting a pedestrian. But nonetheless, I lost my dad in 1968. And again, trigger warning. Shortly after that, my brother started coming into my room at night and touching me where he shouldn't have. And given all of that happening in my life, I was like, maybe there isn't a God, you know? I mean, because if there is, why would he, and I put that in quotes, why would he let all this horrible stuff happen? Why would he allow war? Why would he allow poverty? Why would he allow incest? And so I struggled, and I continue to this day to struggle with that concept. However, and I do want to show a picture of this, my second husband, a very, very different person. Let's see if I can find him. Here he is. Introduced me to spirit, not God. He didn't call it God. He was Zen Buddhist and helped me to, as you can see, if you look closely at, on the right behind my earrings is the beginning and the first time I ever had dreadlocks. And when I got connected to my locks, I got connected to my Jamaican roots as well and learned more about the history of my father, who had a struggle too. He was born, actually tomorrow will be his 101st birthday, which for those of you who do not know, is also International Women's Day. He was abandoned by his birth mother, the woman who brought him home from the hospital, and his aunt who eventually raised him, which my mother said led to his drinking. But he didn't express any religion at all. Anyway, back to Colin, my second husband. He introduced me to spirituality. I began to pray, and to his credit, he told me 4 years before it happened that I was going to leave him for a woman. And I did. And in doing that, again, I'm going to try to look for a picture. Oh, here it is. Well, no, this is a better one, actually. I got introduced to a bunch of women who actually lived outside of Camp Midvale. And what the one I went to was Lakota Sweat Lodge. I don't know if this one's Lakota, but it is a sweat lodge. And what happens here is a ceremony where we go into the building on the right, rocks are heated in the fire and then brought into the dome, and water is poured on them. That is a purification ceremony. And from what I was told, the first time I went to a sweat lodge, I cried literally for 3 hours, nonstop. That, my friends, was a spiritual awakening. That was my connection to my soul and what I call Mother Earth. And I can relate to Earth. You know, I can relate to trees, I can relate to mountains. Matter of fact, I think of them as breasts of Mother Earth. Beautiful. After that, I was able to go to a Sundance, which is a 6-day ceremony where you dance, not me, but the dancers dance, the supporters perform and drum, and you sweat 7 days in a row. That was also a very eye-opening experience and helped me to connect. Again, I can't say the word God. Well, I can, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Well, in five minutes. Because it hadn't harmed me in a way that people have. And it supported me and loved me in a way that people fail to do. So I still struggle, and I guess I was going to say more, but I'm feeling at the end here. I still struggle with the concept of God. And what I've learned to do is turn it over. And I now can say, for me, God is good, orderly direction. Okay. And I also found this image, which I think expresses, at least for me, the closest I can come to God at this time. I also came across the other day something that, or imagined. Another way to look at it is gratitude over disappointments. And that's another way I would say that is looking at the glass as half full as opposed to half empty. And I struggled my whole life with being depressed and like I said earlier, not belonging, not being a part of this world. Thank you, I see that. And when I found God or good orderly direction or Mother Earth, whatever you want to call her, I felt saved. And I have to say that because at one point I read a book called Healing the Child Within, which I highly recommend. And he equates raising a child atheist with spiritual abuse. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, is there any way I haven't been abused? But it's through coming to ACA and other 12-step programs. ACA wasn't my first, but it's definitely my home program. That I learned that my higher power is definitely not a white man living in heaven. It's the group, it's the love, and I'll do a little plug here for Tuesday, 4 p.m. in Pacific Coast time. ACA for POC Love Heals is a home group of mine, and it's for people of the global majority. But the love that I get from ACA is what helps me to believe and have gratitude over disappointment, or accept God as I understand God. Well, I think I left things out, but you know what? I said what I said, and that's what was meant to be said. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all, especially my homies. And I see you all in the audience there who joined in today to support me. I love you all. And I'm just grateful, grateful to be here. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for listening.